So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to come together again for this beautiful study of Surah Taha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the sakina and the sa'ada, the happiness and the tranquility which is in the Qur'an. We ask Allah azza wa jal that He allows us to benefit from the surah and to change our lives from the study of the Qur'an. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us life on Qur'an and our death on this book as well. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So we are in the fourth part, which is right after the part of Musa alayhi salam's Mubarak dua that we talked about, which again is very good for anyone who is feeling life is becoming too stressful, when you're having a lot of distress in life. Then the best way is Rabbi Shrahli Sadri, right? Allah Ta'ala will expand the chest and allow you to absorb or take in more space. If you have more space, then you can handle more issues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in that dua, we also learned that Musa alayhi salam also asked that Allah ta'ala to remove the knot on his tongue so that way he can speak clearly and to make his matter easy for him. So this dua encompasses both internal and external, and also encompasses a physical problem. So internal, external, and physical. All three things that we spoke about that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself also was feeling a bit of distress or worry on, Allah ta'ala also removed that for him as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, and then Musa makes a fourth dua, if you remember. He made dua for his brother Harun alayhi salam, which we talked about, that no younger brother could do anything better than what Musa did for his own brother, Harun alayhi salam. And so he asked Allah, make him a prophet. Make him a prophet. And so immediately Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Oh, you're small, asking, oh Musa, you'll get it. This was a very small thing. Nubuwa, prophethood, removing of a difficulty. These are small things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then immediately Harun alayhi salam becomes a Nabi. An angel comes to him and says, congratulations, you're a prophet too, mashallah. And so then Allah Ta'ala reminds Musa alayhi salam, and this was the last part that we left off on, is that Allah Ta'ala reminds Musa alayhi salam about the fact that I've already helped you more than once. And then Allah Ta'ala tells him about the time he helped his mother and how his mother trusted Allah, and Allah Ta'ala helped by returning Musa back to his mother. So Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam indirectly, just trust me, I'll take care of you like I took care of your mother. We also remember the story that Musa alayhi salam's sister also, she walked directly into the palace of Fir'aun. What was Musa alayhi salam worried about? How can I get inside the palace? So Allah Ta'ala said, the same way I got your sister in, I'll get you in too. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a third point, which is a very interesting point, and again, and I stress this point for myself, for everyone, it's a very important point to take home, is that Allah Ta'ala says, and we tested you and tested you and tested you. وَلَقَدَ فَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ. We've given you so many tests. We've run you through the gauntlet, through the gamut. We got you through everything, right? Musa alayhi salam was tested and tested by Allah Ta'ala. And so what happens is Allah Ta'ala is basically telling Musa alayhi salam at the end of it, if you remember, wastana'tuka li nafsi. Why did I put you through those tests? And the word fitna in Arabic is a very interesting word. It does not mean woman. Let's just make that clear for us. Fitna does not equal woman, right? Sometimes it can be. Sometimes it can be a man, right, on the other side, right? But the word fitna in Arabic is used for placing gold into fire to purify it. And so the idea of fatannaka futuna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting to Musa alayhi salam that you had this beauty in you and I need to take it out. And to take it out, I got to put you through tests. Whenever a person receives a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must accept the fact that Allah ta'ala wants to purify them. Either through removing sins or make them into a better person. In the case of Musa alayhi salam, obviously there's no sins to worry about. It's to improve his qualities and characteristics to make him a beautiful man for Allah. And that's what happens to a lot of us here too. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us through a test so that way you can handle bigger things in life later on. And so Allah ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam indirectly, you didn't even need to ask for these du'as, Musa. Because I already made you for myself. You were already well built. And similarly for us, that when we go through a trial or difficulty in life, tell yourself that Allah ta'ala is just preparing me for something bigger. And He knows I can handle it. There's nothing Allah Ta'ala will give me that I can't handle. When Allah Ta'ala first told Musa alayhi salam to go to Fir'aun, you think Allah Ta'ala was just telling him that you're not ready for it, but go and see what's going to happen? No, Allah Ta'ala will give him a test that he can handle. So at that time, Musa alayhi salam was ready. So we ask Allah that, you know, things that happen in our life, that things just don't make sense. Just tell yourself, Allah is preparing me for something bigger. I can give you examples from my own life, because I recognize them later on. And I hope that you all think about your own lives too. Like, wow, yeah, I went through that, so I can handle this guy's tongue later on. And this person's insults later on. And this thing that happened there. And you can see all these different things in your own lives. We want to make it easy for us to recognize these things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally tells Musa alayhi salam, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَأَخُوكَ. You and your brother go. وَلَا تَنِي بِآيَاتِ. With my signs. وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِ. Don't become weak in my remembrance. Don't weaken in my remembrance. Keep going. And don't slacken whatsoever. The word waniya is used for a person who's become so old. Imra'atun waniyatun, they say. When a woman is so old, you know, like when someone gets old, like their knees don't work well, they're functioning, right? And I'm starting to feel it too. I know you guys are like, what are you talking about, Melissa? But like, I think it's because I'm sitting too much like this all day now. But the point is, like, when you have a difficulty getting up, right, to basically get into the motion, sometimes the zikr gets very hard to put on the tongue, right? Like, we want to say subhanallah, but like, oh, my mouth is not moving. Or it's not moving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Musa, don't let that ever happen to you. That is a sign of weakness. The sign of strength in Islam, the sign of strength in Islam is that Allah ta'ala is behind you. How strong is Musa alayhi salam? Physically, how strong is Musa alayhi salam? Musa alayhi salam is so strong that he punched a guy and killed him with a single hit. Musa alayhi salam is so strong that when there was a boulder or a rock on top of of the well that people needed to access water underneath, it took 10 people normally to lift it up. He lifted it up by himself. He's very strong. Physically, he's very strong. But he's not going to be able to handle this job of going to Fir'aun unless he has Allah Ta'ala to help him. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding Musa alayhi salam over and over and over again. And this is a reminder for Muslims till Qiyamah. That you could be physically strong, you could be militarily strong, you could be politically strong, you could have a good strength in the community, whatever it might be. But if you don't have Allah, you have nothing. You have no power whatsoever. So Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, now go. So I want everyone just note how many times Allah Ta'ala keeps saying go. اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Like that was like ayah number like 20 or something. Then Allah says, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَأَخُوكَ. You and your brother go. اِذْهَبَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. Go, go, go. Go, ila Fir'aun, go to Fir'aun, innahu tagha. There's no stopping now. Allah doesn't change the ruling. People often want that the ruling will change. And I stress this about, like, for example, with buying a home, for example, or for halal food, for example. People are like, oh, the situation will change. So you know what, if I break the rules right now, later on I'll become halal. That's not the way it works here. The way it works is what? It's haram, it can stay haram. If it never changes, I still accept that it's haram. I don't go and say, alright, it's never going to change, might as well do the haram. Musa, Allah doesn't change the ruling. The ruling is still what? You go by yourself to Fir'aun, you, your brother go to Fir'aun, you all go to Fir'aun, everyone's going to Fir'aun. Allah is saying that the ruling will never change. So we have to remember this, that if we go into a difficult situation, you ask Allah for afiyah and help. But if it doesn't change, you stay firm on your deen. Because that's what we're responsible for. If Allah didn't send Harun alayhi salam, would Musa still have to go? 100% he would have to go. And that's what we have to remember as well, living in this country, whatever happens, just you keep going. Go, 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 go. And now you're wondering, and I'm wondering too, at this point of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go, go, go to Fir'aun. And now you're wondering like, man, what is Allah going to tell Musa alayhi salam? What is he going to tell him to say, right? It must be like, he's going to go over there and start bashing him out. Fir'aun, you monster, you weasel. You monkey, your parents were a monkey, and this and that. How dare you think you're the God? Don't you know what kind of fluid you were? You were a dirty guy, this, you know, that. You fraud, you scam, whatever. You know, like, Musa alayhi salam's wondering, you know, everyone's waiting. What is the command, Allah? What do I say to Fir'aun, right? Because everything has been said. Go to Fir'aun. Allah, what do I say? So, here's what Allah Ta'ala says to say to Fir'aun. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Allahu Akbar. This is mind-blowing stuff. We would have thought that Musa alayhi salam had to go in there and curse the heck out of Fir'aun and tell him what kind of big badmash he was. Inna taga, right? He's transgressed all limits. Go and curse that man out. Let him know what he did. Let him know that worship, being an object of worship in this life is absolutely haram for anybody. He's doing the most haram you can ever imagine, right? What does Allah there say? Go say a gentle word to him. Go say a gentle word to him. Say a soft word. Say something so nice to him. Go in there, Musa, the man who kills babies, thousands upon thousands of children, who enslaved your entire people, who calls himself Rabbukum al-A'la, I'm your greatest Lord, and go say a nice word, can you accept Islam? This is what Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam to do. Okay? This is Fir'aun the monster. And so what we need to recognize is this, and I want to stress this point. Harsh speech is never an option for a Muslim. Harsh speech is never an option for a Muslim. Okay, there can be harsh, you know, sometimes points in bayans will come out harshly. But in terms of conversations we have, never should be a case where we are talking rude to a person. That a person thought we were disrespected. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ says it so beautifully. He says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir." Whoever believes in Allah Ta'ala and the Day of Judgment, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا. You speak good. أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Or you stay silent. Ya Rasulullah, what's the third option? There is no third option. The two options we have are what? that you speak good or you remain silent. We're never allowed to speak harshly or rudely or think that we will guide a person by screaming or yelling or shouting at them. That's not the way. Allah didn't even allow it to Fir'aun, the worst guy in the world. And then we go to our Muslim brother and sister, start yelling at them. Start saying, oh, you don't have a hijab? Oh, you've been selling haram food for this entire time? We start yelling at people and we think it's okay to yell at people? And we forget that this person has kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah in their hearts? And I'm only stressing this and hammering this down because we do this, unfortunately, too many times to our Muslim brothers. And needs to stop. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was making, he said, the Prophet was making tawaf around the Kaaba. He was making tawaf around the Kaaba. And he was, as the Prophet said, ma atyabaki, wa ma atyaba rihaki. The Prophet said, how wondrous are you, O Kaaba? And how great is your scent, O Kaaba? And then the Prophet said, but the honor of a Muslim is more sacred than you, O Kaaba. No one would ever disrespect the Kaaba, ever. But we were so okay with disrespecting a Muslim. And then what about the non-Muslim? You know, this has become really, really normal. People like it in a bayan, right? Or a debate. We like debates, right? Munazara, right? We love it, man. These guys, you fraud, you academic fraud, you weasel. We love those words. It sounds so good, you know? It's like you don't know what you're talking about. You're an idiot and things like that, you know, on stage. And there is a time and place for certain things, you know? I'm just speaking generally. People often evaluate a debate how? You say, like, the guy had really good arguments, convincing arguments. I was convinced, right? Many a times, though, when we watch a debate, though, it's not because of the argument. It's just like how the guy is talking, right? And the guy who's louder, he's usually the guy who what? Who wins? Because he doesn't let the other guy finish a sentence. So you're like, wow, he defeated him. Okay? Now I ask you, by you defeating that guy on stage, does that make that person closer to accepting Islam? What about all the Muslims that they thought that this guy was speaking loud, so that means he's more correct? Is that what we preach in Islam? We are evaluating things the wrong way. When I watch a debate, I watch in two ways. I watch debates usually twice. And you can imagine that I spend a lot of time on these things. I watch them twice. The first time I watch, I evaluate the person's akhlaq. I evaluate the character. Because the Prophet ﷺ also debated people. Musa ﷺ also debated people. But they never disrespected anybody. And these were people who are on the highest level of Baltan. You cannot get more Fir'aun than Fir'aun. You cannot get more Fir'aun than Abu Jahl. You can't get more Jahala than Abu Jahl. The most ignorant man in the world was Abu Jahl, right? The Prophet ﷺ had to debate both of them. Musa ﷺ debated one and Prophet ﷺ debated the other. But they never ever used any wrong words or rude words or offensive words. They never called the person a weasel or a monkey or something. It's easy, right? Just call the guy's mother and father a monkey. It's pretty easy, right? The battle's over. No one's going to listen to him. You know, it's very easy to just disrespect a person and then say that you won. But that's not the way of Islam. And I want everyone to note that. The first time I watch the debate, I watch it for the akhlaq. And second time, I look at the arguments. I say, okay, this was a good argument, this wasn't a good argument. But first time, I always say that this person lost. Because why? Because his akhlaq failed. It should never be a case where Muslims are like that. And I apologize for going that long on it. And then what does Allah say? Perhaps why? لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ وَيَخْشَى. Perhaps Fir'aun will start to remember a little bit. Allah says, perhaps he will start making zikr of me. And Allah says, oh yakhsha, or maybe he'll start fearing me. Okay? I want to ask everyone, does Allah know what's going to happen to Fir'aun? Yeah, 100%, 3,000%, 1,000,000,000%. Allah knows. But the responsibility of Musa alayhi salam and my responsibility and your responsibility is not what Allah knows. My responsibility is that I have to make the effort to go to him. So Allah says, oh Musa, you still have to go. Musa didn't say, oh Allah, just tell me, is it going to end up good or bad? Right? Allah says, I give you some hope. Go ahead and try your best. Do as much as you can. Because if you and I knew the end result, would you even try? No way. I know this guy's going to Jahannam, he's going to Jannah. I know who I can target, you know. Allah says, target everybody. In the halal targeting, not the missile and terrorism targeting, okay? You go and you focus on this brother and sister and you just keep working at them. This one person, mashallah, Sulaiman Mullah, he quoted this one brother who said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, he accepted Islam. He said, after 20 something years, my 94-year-old mother accepted Islam. Subhanallah. Now imagine that person if Allah that revealed that this person is not a Jannati, so stop trying. You know, this is the thing. So Musa is told by Allah that just go ahead and try. I want to contrast this to, remember we're looking at the Old Testament? This is ajeeb stuff here, okay? So this is from Exodus. This is line number 1 to 3. So the Lord answered Moses, see, I've made you like God to Pharaoh. I have no idea exactly what that means, right? And your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to speak all that I command to you, and your brother Aaron is to tell the prophet to let the Israelites go. Okay? Note that Harun alayhi salam is being chosen every single time here. And I find that to be very interesting, because we know who's the one who's speaking to Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam. Why is Musa alayhi salam allowed to speak and Harun doesn't speak? Who actually was living in the palace? Musa alayhi salam. It only makes a lot more sense that Musa alayhi salam is the one talking, because Fir'aun doesn't even know Harun. So who the heck is he? Harun alayhi salam? With all due respect, of course. This is the interesting part. Line number 3 says, "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart," God is saying. Okay, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I will multiply my signs and wonders in the land, Pharaoh will not listen to you." What did I just explain to you about hope? And so literally, you'll notice in this entire chapter, and I don't want to mock it because it just seems kind of funny to me, but every single time Musa will be like, "I don't have a good tongue. I can't do it," you know. And so it's a complete Asman Zameen Farq, right? It's the between the heavens and the earth type of difference for us, right? What's in the Quran and not. And I just want everyone to appreciate it, because there are a lot of parts of this story that I'm going to talk about today that the Jews don't even have. This entire discussion with Fir'aun is about to happen right now. Majority of it is not mentioned in the Old Testament. You have, as Muslims, you and I have parts of stories that they don't even know about. The magician part is going to come up. We have amazing details that they just have one line about. And I'll show you it when we get there. Okay? So now, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, they meet up. And then, I skipped one part. Musa alayhi salam comes back down from the mountain. Who's waiting for him at the bottom of the mountain? Huh? No. There was someone he left behind there. His wife. It's been quite some time, right? He's had a long conversation. He goes back down. He's like, "Honey, I didn't find a fire. And I didn't really find any human there. But I became a prophet." She's like, "I just sent you out for milk. And you come back telling me you're a prophet." It's amazing. She's like, "But of course, these are the wives of the prophets." Of course, mashallah, this is a joke, right? But she would accept it completely. And then subhanAllah, he says, "We have to go now. We have to go straight to Egypt." Right? So she's ready to go. And then Musa alayhi salam actually meets Harun alayhi salam on the way. And now they both have a conversation with Allah. Okay. Again, parts of the Old Testament, they mention one line about them speaking to Allah, but this entire discussion is only in the Quran, respective in the Quran only. Okay, it's what قَالَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ يَطْغَى. They say, "Oh, our Lord, we fear that He will hasten against us. يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ يَطْغَى, or He will transgress." The Mufassirin generally said this. They said that Fir'aun might not even give us a chance to speak. Fir'aun might not even give us a chance to speak, O Allah. Or it could be that after we speak, Fir'aun will just send us to the kill chamber and finish us. Maybe one of those things will happen. Okay? And there's another way of looking at it, which is a very interesting way, that Imam Maturidi rahimahullah, he quotes. He says, "It's possible though, that when they said, 'Ayyafruta alayna,' maybe He won't even pay attention to us." You know, when you go inside the palace, you're coming in as two prophets, to a man who believes he's God, is he going to listen to you? He has no reason to listen to you. He's not even going to pay attention to you. So they go and say, "Oh Allah, it's possible we go in there and He will just hasten us. He won't even listen to us. He'll be sitting there like cleaning out His ear like, 'Oh yeah, keep talking, wasting, as if we're wasting our time.' Oh, ayyatullah," or He'll just say, "You know what, just get out of the room. I don't even need you here." So they're Musa and Harun alayhi salam, they are worried about something. They're not worried about normal things anymore. They're worried that I have to give the message, but it's not going to be accepted by the people. And so they have a message that may not be delivered. Who had the same worry? It is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, what is he worried about? "I have this amazing Quran, but will these people listen to my message or not?" So Allah Ta'ala says, "O Prophet of Allah, pay attention to this part. Listen to what I say. Listen what I respond." Allah Ta'ala says, "Qala la takhafa." Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. "Innani ma'akuma." I'm with you both. Asma'u wa ara. I am listening and I'm hearing. And this is the beauty of da'wah. You all, I know this. When I knock on that door and I need to invite the brother to the masjid, I tell him, "Inshallah, the bayan will be after Isha Salah. And mashallah, if you can come a little bit of time or success in this life and thereafter." And what does he do? "Yeah, I know. And then sometimes the guy's like looking around, waiting for me to leave, right? And I'm getting like, and it could bother you. Mentally, it could bother you. Physically, you get upset. I would get upset too, right? He's like, I'd be like, "You jahannam." Like, you'll get really mad. You get upset. And again, it's a human reaction. But what does Allah respond with? "Oh Musa, O Harun, if no one listens to you, I'm listening to you. Oh Musa, Harun, if Fir'aun doesn't look at you, who's looking at you? I'm looking at you. You're on stage right now. You are presenting right now. You are putting a show on for me." Allah says, "I'm your audience. Just keep doing what you need to do." Mawlana Rumi rahimullah ta'ala said, if you are giving a bayan to any group of people and you see more than one in your audience you're doing shirk. He said, if you're giving a bayan or a dars or a talk to anybody and you see more than one being in front of you, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're doing shirk. Meaning that when we talk to a person, we're only talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala we're speaking to and Allah ta'ala is listening. It doesn't matter if this person is not listening. Because on Qiyamah, I'll be like, Allah ta'ala be like, yo, that was some great points. Even though everyone fell asleep. Like, even though they were waiting for you to stop talking. Allah will say, I loved it. I loved every single part of it. The da'wah, the jawla, everything you did was amazing. Amazing. Allah ta'ala will say that. So Allah ta'ala will say, He tells Musa and Harun and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if Abu Jahl doesn't listen to you, Mughira bin Shu'ba doesn't listen to you, this guy doesn't listen to you, Abu Lahab doesn't listen to you, no one listens to you, Ya Rasulullah, I'm listening to you. At the night of the Hajjud, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by himself, who's listening to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I want to ask everyone too, Musa alaihi wasallam and Harun alaihi wasallam, they said, I'm afraid, right? How many times have they said they're afraid? Like 3 times, right? They keep saying we're afraid. Musa alayhi salam said, I'm afraid. Everyone keeps saying they're afraid. How many times has Allah heard that they are afraid? Do you think that Allah will get tired by now? Allah will hear your same problem again and again and again. No problem. Say it again. Speak it one more time. Say, Allah, I'm worried about this now. Allah, I'm worried about that now. Allah, I'm worried about that now. And Allah will respond every single time to you. Never forget that that's your my Lord and my He's my Lord and your Lord. This Allah Ta'ala who will listen to us. And so, this next part is what Allah Ta'ala says, فَأْتِيَا فِرْعَوْنَ فَأْتِيَاهُ فَقُولَ Go to him, come to him and say, إِنَّا رَسُولَ رَبِّكَ Say that we are the messengers of رَسُولَ رَبِّكَ We are the messengers of your Lord. They're saying this to whom? Fir'aun, right? They're not saying we're the Rasul of the Lord of the world. They're saying we're the Rasuls of your Lord. What are they implying to Fir'aun? You're a slave like us. You're abd like us. And Allah does your Rabb like He's my Rabb. فَأَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ Send Bani Israel with us. وَلَا تُعَذِّبْهُمْ Do not punish them. Okay? قَدْ جِئْنَاكَ We have come with you بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ With an amazing sign from your Lord. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَى And peace is upon those who follow guidance. And at the final thing that they say is, إِنَّا قَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْنَا I'll explain everything in a second. أَنَّ الْعَذَابَ عَلَى مَنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى It has been revealed to us that the punishment is for those who deny and turn away. They mentioned about 6 or 7 things here in such succinct words. Because who are they talking to? Fir'aun. And what does he have to do? He's a busy guy. Even if you want to say whatever, God, whatever, he's still the king of Egypt. He has a lot of things to do. They're making their message قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا They're making their message very succinct and very soft. They're making a very soft and very succinct message. They made it clear within these couple of words. The number one is that we are messengers. Number two, Fir'aun, you're not the Lord. They didn't say you're not the Lord. What did they say? We're the messengers of your Lord. They made it very indiscreet, right? I'm sorry, very, very discreet. Like, just insert that in there. He's listening, right? And then, وَالسَّلَامُ and we want that you send Bani Israel with us. That's number three. Number four is what? Don't punish them. Stop hurting them. Stop abusing Bani Israel. We came to you with a sign. Number five. Number six is what? Peace be upon those who follow guidance. If you accepted Islam, Fir'aun, congratulations. Assalamu alaikum. Habibi. You know, they will be happy with him. And then what? And then they say, because the hardest part is what? You got to talk about Jahannam too, right? If you're going to talk about Jannah, you got to talk about Jahannam. So they say, it has been revealed to us. They didn't go and say that, I know that you're going to go to Jahannam if you don't do it. They go and say, that Allah Ta'ala inspired to us that the punishment will be on those who turn away and who deny. So if you deny, they're not saying if you deny, but saying that ijmalan, like just beautifully, just summarized, if a person does turn away, they might go to Jahannam. Isn't that better than going up to a non-Muslim and be like, hey, by the way, if you don't accept the Quran, you're going to go to hell. Have fun having da'wah. You know, that's not a good da'wah. That's terrible da'wah. Look how soft their words were. They said everything they needed to say without having to point a finger at Fir'aun. This is how beautiful this is, the message of Musa alayhi salam. Okay? And so Musa alayhi salam, قَالَ فِرْعَوْن فَمَا رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى Right? This is the amazing part. Allah SWT was telling Musa alayhi salam a message, right? He was telling them, go to Fir'aun, do this and this. Where did Fir'aun come from? We were with Musa alayhi salam where? Like, he was with his brother Harun. And suddenly Allah is saying Fir'aun. This is one of the beautiful places in the Quran where Allah transitions you. He was saying a message, he was saying a command. And then it's as if like the scene changes, right? Allah is saying, say this to Fir'aun. And then you slowly see that the scene is changed and Musa is saying this to Fir'aun. And certainly you find yourself where? Inside the palace. Beautifully done. Beautifully transitioned. No one even noticed it. It's such a beautiful transition in the Quran. Amazing thing is what? We were so worried, how is Musa Ibn going to get in the palace? And what does Allah do? Put him inside the palace. You just have to accept that fact. He just got in. Doesn't matter how Allah did it, he got straight through the door, and now he's talking to Fir'aun. So now Fir'aun is smart. He's a debater. He's coming into a munazara. He's coming straight into the debate. قَالَ فَمَا رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Alright, Moses. Alright, Musa. Who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? What did Musa and Harun say? We are the messengers of your Lord, Fir'aun. And Fir'aun is responding, who is your Lord, Fir'aun? Who is your Lord, Musa? What is your Lord? So Musa has a chance to say something. He says, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. He says, I have to introduce Allah, and I have to do قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. One interpretation of قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا is gentle speech, like we talked about, soft speech. Another way of looking at قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا is what one Mufassir said, which is the kalima لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ, right? And the Musa Kalimullah part, okay? So Musa Ism does this within these couple of words. He says, my Lord is the one who is, he's given everything its form, then he guided it. He gave everything its form, then he guided it. What is Musa Ism saying here? Everything, from the earth to the stars, to the sky, to the plants, to the fish, to the insects, to the animals. Allah that gave the form and shape to every single thing, all the humans in the room, Musa Ism saying, all the humans in here, all the statues in here, the entire palace, the pyramids, everything Allah that gave this, the form to. Then Allah, what did he do? Allah created all of it. And then he guided it. He guided it to its proper method. Why does it exist? How should it exist? Allah taught the bee how to be a bee. Allah taught the ant how to be an ant. Allah taught humans how to be humans. And Allah guided people to Jannah. And so he's showing Allah gave methods and hidayah for everything. Musa is saying, this is my introduction to Allah. Now Fir'aun, what do you do? What does Fir'aun do? Nothing. Nothing. Musa is making very clear, my Allah is doing all of these things. And when Allah that gave the form to everything, and He gave human beings their form, how does Allah guide human beings? Through prophets. So when Musa Ism said, Allah that gave everything its creation, that's La ilaha illallah. Allah gave everything its form. ثُمَّ هَدَى, when He guides them, is what? Musa Kalimullah. He gave the entire kalima in a couple of words without Fir'aun even noticing it. Sometimes what we do, we go up to people and say the shahada. I need you to understand the shahada. If you didn't even say the shahada, as long as you actually understood the shahada and you accept the shahada, you're already a Muslim. I just have to bring it out now. We many times are stuck on the words. The zahir loves is nothing, really. If they don't have the reality in their hearts, what does it even matter? Right? What? That's what you understand. On Qiyamah, people with even an ounce, even an atom's worth of iman in their hearts will be taken out of Jahannam. And those people that have atom's worth, there was a beautiful story about take it for what it sounds like. There was a Hindu man who was going to be put in a grave. Our teacher Mufti Namansa told us this story. He said that when he was trying to be put in the grave, they tried to burn him. Nothing was working. Like, it wasn't lighting. And they were wondering, like, why isn't he burning? Like, you know, they were trying to do that nara, paya, whatever, you know, I forgot what it's called. You put him on the pyre, right? You burn him, right? And so, in any case, it wasn't burning. And so, they went to the Muslims in the area and said that, can you guys take this body? Because he's not burning, and we don't know why, right? And then so one Muslim in the area says, I know that brother. He's a Hindu man, okay? He's like, I know that brother. He said, well, what was he? He said that he was a man who used to print Qurans, okay? And now watch this part. He said that, but he made sure that all the workers were Muslim because he was working with the Quran, and he made sure to have wudu stations within the facility to make sure they were always making wudu while they were touching the Quran. This man had love of Islam in his heart. And perhaps for that reason, the Muslims took him and put him in a Muslim burial. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Again, you know, take it for what it is. But the point is what? The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that people who have ounces of iman in their hearts, no one will be able to see it. They loved Islam. And Allah Ta'ala would take them out of Jahannam because of that. That's what we need to do. So Musa Ism says to Fir'aun, that Allah Ta'ala is the one who gave everything its form, and then he guides them through the prophets. Okay? Now Fir'aun is paying attention. He's listening. He got his attention. He said that, you're not the Lord. But Fir'aun is not paying attention to the meanings. Fir'aun is paying attention to the words. What was the word that Musa Ism used? ثُمَّ هَدَى. Then he guided. Then he guided. Fir'aun's like, wow, this Allah, this God, he guided. Your Lord guided. Okay? Then Fir'aun asks, قَالَ فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَى. What about the situation of the previous generations? Now, this is the part in a debate where you put a person into a trap. This is what I do to my wife all the time, right? I ask a question, and then I wait for her, I set her up, because I know each way you answer, I got you. Okay? I'm not saying I'm being like Firaun here, but I'm telling you that you could be pretty smart when it comes to debates, right? And this is what I do too, when I debate people, I talk to people. If I can't seem to can guide them, at least to show everyone else, this person doesn't seem to understand what they're talking about, you know? Like that's enough sometimes, right? So I do it in a very smart way. I don't disrespect them. I never disrespect them, right? But so you have to be smart about it. And if my wife is listening, my bad. Okay? So, Firaun was anticipating something. What was he anticipating? فَمَا بَعْدُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَىٰ He says, what is the situation of the people of the past? So Musa Islam has one or two options here to answer. Either he says they were misguided. If he says they're misguided, what can Firaun say? You just said all the elders of Egypt were misguided. And everyone who's listening inside the courtroom will say, wow, Musa, he disrespected our elders. That's not good at all. And what else can he say? Musa Islam can also say they were guided. And then Firaun will say, but they were on shirk. And then he's like, I'm doing shirk, they did shirk. How? We're all okay then. So Musa is put in a very difficult spot. But remember what Allah gave him. وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي Remove the doubt on my tongue. So Musa is able to speak in a beautiful way. He says, قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ He says, the knowledge is with my Lord. In a very secure book. He says, I don't know about them, you don't know about them, Harun don't know about them, nobody knows about them. Who only knows? Allah. He answered in the most intriguing way. The way he escaped the trap very beautifully. Musa alayhi salam, he was saying like, oh Allah, my tongue is like this, this and this. Allah is like, bam, I fixed your tongue. Go ahead, speak. So he goes and says, the knowledge of them is with my Lord in a book. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى My Lord does not mistake and he doesn't forget. Meaning what? That on the day of judgment, Allah will bring them out. And then you'll see. But Firaun, that's not the discussion here. I'm focusing on you and I right now. Don't change the subject. What do people do in debates do? When they're in a bad position, what do they try to do? Get out of it. Go into a different direction. So Musa Islam talks to Firaun and says, no, 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 don't escape. Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-ardha mahda. My Lord is the one who, because he goes back to Allah, my Lord is the one who made the earth a cradle for you. Ja'ala lakum fiha subula. And he made for it pathways. And he sent down wanzala min as-sama'i ma'a. And he sent down rain from the water, from the sky. Firaun, what do you do? Answer the question. We're in a debate right now. Give me the answer. What do you control? And the ayah, the amazing part is this part about the ayah. And then Allah says, فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِن نَبَاتٍ شَتَّى Allah says, and we brought out forth from the water different types of vegetation. Right? We brought out. Musa was talking again, right? He was talking. He was saying that Allah does this and this and this. And then Allah says, and suddenly we do this part. This is the amazing part of the Quran, that the book starts to talk to you. When you're reading translations, you'll notice this, that the pronoun will change. For example, in Surah Fatiha, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the most merciful, the most gracious, master of the day of judgment, you we worship. We were talking in third person, then it switched to second person. Sometimes what happens is what, the Quran will just switch like that because it's trying to highlight something. That we're reading this nice story about Firaun and Musa, they're having a great debate, and then what happens in the middle is what? And Allah says, and we brought out different vegetations for you. Then Allah tells, "Kulu wa ra'u anamakum." You eat and you feed your cattle. Inna fi dhalika al-ayatin li ulin nuhad. Surely in that are signs for people of understanding. Then Allah says, "Minha khalaqnakum." From this we created you. Wa fiha nu'idukum. And in it we'll return you. Wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. And after some time we'll raise you up again. Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prophesies reading to whom? To Abu Jahl, to Mughira, to etc., etc. And the Prophet is reading this, and they're listening, and they're listening, and they're listening. And then Allah says, we'll take you out, and we'll take you out, and we'll take you out too. Just like Firaun will take you out. Allah is telling all of us this reminder. Allah is telling us very beautifully, if you don't believe me that I can take out things from the ground, look at the plants. How many things does Allah take out from the ground? On a daily basis, what does Allah do? So I'll take out plants from the ground. The ground that you thought was dead, I look at the plants, they're all coming back alive. You know, every single time. You think that the one who created humans from dirt, that made them human, that made them dirt, cannot make them human again? Allah makes it very clear. And this is the ayah that we do when we bury someone. We read this when we are burying someone. When we throw each scoop of dirt, we read this ayah to the person. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى Okay. Allah says about Firaun, that finally when Allah, you know, and this reminder Musa is giving to Firaun, you don't do any of these things. My Allah does everything. Okay? وَلَقَدْ أَرَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. So then Fir'aun is stuck. He gets stuck at this moment. And in other surahs, Allah shows it very beautifully. Surah Ash-Shu'ara, for example, Allah Ta'ala says about the discussion with Fir'aun, that Musa A.S. says, أَوَلَوْ جِتُكَ بِشَيْءٍ مُبِينٍ. How about if I give you something clear? Right, if I give you something clear? And he said, go ahead, فَأْتِ بِهِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Tell me what it is if you're speaking the truth. So then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. We showed him all our signs. We showed him all our signs. What are the two signs that Musa A.S. brought? There are two signs Allah Ta'ala brought exclusively for Fir'aun. The first one is the staff. Second one is the hand. Right? And I explained this before, that I was going to explain it in one of these lectures, and this is the one that we'll talk about it. First, real quick, from the Old Testament, because it's always funny when you look back there, right? So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh tells you perform a miracle, you are to say to Harun, to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh. So Musa alayhi salam, is he doing anything? He's just telling Harun alayhi salam to do it. And it will become a serpent. Okay? And so Harun alayhi salam, he does everything in this story. Okay? But still Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he will not listen to them. So what can you do, right? Okay. So the two things that Musa alayhi salam brings are really interesting. One of them is the staff and the other one is the hand. Okay? The hand is what the ulama have described it as. It has shu'ar, it has rays. It looks like the sun. It's not just like it just turned white. That's not impressive whatsoever. When Musa A.S. takes it out from underneath, what happens is actually this. It becomes like the sun in his hand. It's shining. It's blazing. People can see it in front of them. It has shu'a'a. Imam Razi rahimahullah mentions it very clearly. And the second thing Musa A.S. can do is what? When he throws down his staff, فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانُ مُبِينٍ, it becomes a huge python. It becomes a huge anaconda-like thing that's slithering and moving so fast. Why are these two things important? I need to stress this point. That the message that Allah Ta'ala gives to every single one of us is tailored and made for every single one of us. It's designed for us. These two things weren't chosen by mistake or just because Allah Ta'ala wanted to show whatever. When Musa A.S. did this and he did that, it's because why? Because what did the Egyptians consider to be the greatest God? It's the God of the sun. And they called him Ra, right? In Arabic, Al, right? He was the highest God. This is the son of the sun god Ra. Okay? He was thought to be the greatest Lord. That's what they thought about suns, right? The sun in the sky. What did they think about snakes? You ever see the helmet or the headgear of a pharaoh? What did he have on it? A snake, okay? So there was a god which was the lower protector of lower Egypt. She was depicted as a snake. What would she do? This god would coil around the head of the pharaoh to protect him. Okay? So now, take these two points, the sun and the snake. The snake that is supposed to be protecting the pharaoh, where is he right now? The hand of Musa, alayhi salam. And the sun that they're worshipping, that's so high in the sky, where the Musa is bringing it down to? The world. What is this stuff about? He has a real snake. It's not a fake snake, right? It's not something play. It's not something you buy from whatever. It is an actual snake. And so now he's bringing these two things in front of Fir'aun and saying, Fir'aun, these are all creations of Allah. There's nothing impressive about them. Allah will bring it from here to there, and Allah will make a snake in my hand. There's nothing to worship. Don't get deceived. These are ayatina kullaha. We showed him all our signs, Allah Ta'ala says. We made it explicitly clear. Fir'aun, you are not a god. None of the gods you worship are gods. Isn't that clear for everybody? So Allah Ta'ala says, we showed him our signs. فَكَذَّبَ وَأَبَى. But he refused and he turned away. What did he say? When he saw the snake, and when he saw the sun, Fir'aun's eyes, like they started to shine. He became so happy, he smiled. Because he was losing the debate badly. Everything that he would say, and there are many parts of the discussion, anything he would say would get refuted by Musa alayhi salam. At this moment, Fir'aun is completely stuck. But then he sees a hand and a snake. He's like, aha, you know, I got you. أَجِتَّنَا لِتُخْرِجَنَا مِنْ أَرْضِنَا بِسِحْرِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Oh, Musa, you came to us to drive us out of our land with your magic. I got you. You are just a magician. That's why. And he's telling everybody, hey everybody, he's just a magician. He's just like everybody else. And look at him, he's trying to take it out of our land. You know, what is the dialect or the dialogue of presidents that try to become president? Yeah, we'll get them out of our country. Right? This is our land. As if I don't have an American passport. You know, like type of weird stuff like that, like dumb things like that, like as if we don't belong here. It's us versus them. What does Fir'aun do? He's a politician. At the end of the day, if he screwed up in the debate, he's a politician. He's trying to take us out of our land. You know? They are foreigners. So, oh Musa, you're trying to do that? No problem. فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِي. We only have a couple more ayats, inshallah, and we'll be done, okay? He says that we will then bring you a similar sorcery. فَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَكَ مَوْعِدًا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَنَا مَوْعِدًا. Make for us an appointment between us and you. And then even he said, لَا نُخْلِفُ نَحْنُ وَلَا أَنْتَ مَكَانًا سُوَى. I won't leave this promise, you won't leave this promise. مَكَانًا سُوَى. He says, I want an even place. A balanced place. Not too high, not too low. Not the ground is messed up. And he's telling Musa, I know you guys, Bani Israel, you guys will cheat people. I don't want you to cheat the ground. Don't deceive us in the ground, you know. And Fir'aun is basically saying, any place you pick, if it's a fair ground, we'll do what? We'll beat you in it. Every single time. Anytime, anywhere, time and place, Musa, we're going to defeat you. He's making a challenge to Musa alayhi salam, because he can't win the debate now. So he's like, let me shift the argument to a different place. Because I know he's a magician, so let me just copy him with some magic. So this is absolutely great for publicity. When you have flat land, everyone can see you, right? So Fir'aun said, pick something flat, Musa, so that way everyone can see us, so I can show everyone how you lost this debate, how you lost this battle. So Fir'aun goes and does that. And so Musa alayhi salam said, and so Fir'aun is thinking in his mind, Musa alayhi salam will pick some small area, maybe back in the palace, maybe sometime like this, you know, when Fir'aun will bring his magicians, etc. And so he's thinking that it'll be a very small place, maybe in a house, etc. Like small things, right? مَوْعِدُكُمْ يَوْمُ الزِّينَ. I want to pick the day of Eid for you guys. يَوْمُ الزِّينَ, and I spent some time researching this, is that it's called Apet, or Opet, in ancient Egyptian. It was the day of festival, and it's called the beautiful feast, the day of the beautiful feast. What is this day, Yawm al-Zina? This day, according to Egyptian culture, and Allah knows best if this is exactly the day, but this is the day when the Pharaoh gets reinstated as the Pharaoh. He enters the temple, and then people all waiting outside for him, and he goes in and he comes out and saying, I'm the Pharaoh again, the gods have chosen me again. Right? This is the day. Basically, when he's basically getting his inauguration. Imagine on the day when President Trump is getting inaugurated, and you're like, I'm going to debate you, bro. You're going to come and fight him on that day when he's like, you know, on that day where everyone is trying to watch, everyone's looking at it, like, you know, the presidential debates or whatever, people are wasting their time looking at it, inshallah, guy, you know, trying to watch these things. You know, Musa is saying, on this day, I'm going to challenge you. And he said, وَيُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ duha. Make sure it's early morning, before you get inaugurated, before you get reinstated, I want everyone to see this. Musa is picked the time and place that the most critical time that no Muslim in their right mind would ever choose. But he's so confident in the message that Allah has given him. So he picked the largest function on one of the most important days of the year. Okay? Now Fir'aun cannot back down. Because he said what? Pick any time and place, I'll challenge you. So now he goes, فَتَوَلَّى Fir'aun. Fir'aun goes and disappears. فَجَمَعَ كَيْدَهُ. He gathers his resources. ثُمْ أَتَى. Then after some time, he says, Musa, I'm ready. And the day of Zina comes up. And the Musa is there. And the magicians are there. And now they're going to get ready to battle. Inshallah, we'll cover it next time. We ask Allah to give us guidance and tawfiq. There's an entire other part that I thought we can cover, but I was like, nah, I don't wanna do injustice to the story, you know. But I just wanna, again, you know, like those two points, a couple of points that we mentioned about how he's similar to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very interesting is that Fir'aun felt like he could copy the magic of Musa alaihi wasallam, right? Quote unquote magic. What did the Quraysh think? We could also copy the Quran. Will Fir'aun be able to copy the magic? No. Will the Quraysh be able to copy the Quran? No, they never be able to come to Quran. Okay, and there are other parts which, when we talk about the magicians, they'll have a secret meeting. The magicians will have a secret meeting, which Allah Ta'ala informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about. Did the Quraysh also have a secret meeting? Yes, they did, and Allah Ta'ala also informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about it too. Okay, there's one more part about the magicians, but I don't want to spoil that for you. We'll do that next time, inshallah Ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq and hidayah and guidance. Allow us to be soft when we speak, be gentle when we speak. Allow us to appreciate the amazing stories in the Quran. The way that Allah Ta'ala tells a story is just so phenomenal. May Allah Ta'ala allow us that we live our lives upon Quran and we die upon this book, inshallah Ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.